Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. And today we have Jeff Blankenberg, the developer evangelist for the Heartland from Microsoft. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, Jesse. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you on the show today, talking about this amazing, just absurd commitment you've made of turning out, do I have this right, a blog entry for every day for 31 days on the phone?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, but I think it's going to turn out pretty well. I'm almost actually done writing them all, so I'll feel a little bit better once they're completed. But yeah, I'm putting a post out every single day for the day of October on how to build apps for Windows Phone.
And are you sleeping, or how are you doing?
Jesse, you know better than that. We work for Microsoft. That'll come later in my life.
One of the things I like to say about Microsoft is one of the big benefits is flex hours. Pick any 70 hours you like.
Right. So. No, that's a great way to put it. Yeah. No, to be perfectly honest, I mean, with as busy as I've been, I'm writing articles. I was up till probably 1 o'clock last night writing, but I am going out and playing golf tomorrow. So it's, you just work with it as it goes and try to enjoy life as you can.
Well, just remember a lot of us are counting on your finishing this thing. So when you're playing golf, if you hear any rumbling, get
right.
off.
There will be no failure. This entire series will be completed, I promise.
All right. Very cool. I'm going to hold you to that. So tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you've been discovering as you've been doing this.
Well, you know, one of the things, this is not the first series like this that I've done. I did a series on the 31 Days of Silverlight last year. And what I found was it was a great opportunity for me to lay out 31 things that I wanted to learn. And then as I did them, I created a list of 31 posts that I wanted to write and then said, you know what, these would be great articles instead of me just learning about this stuff. Why don't I write down what I'm learning? And so what you'll find, if you really read them closely, you'll notice that it is written pretty much as I go through it. So I'll write a paragraph and then I'll stop and I'll write some code to figure out how that thing actually works. And then I'll go ahead and I put the code into the blog post and then I'll write about what I did and how. But if you read them line by line, you can really follow my thought process many times. But it was just a great opportunity for me to learn how to do this stuff as well.
That's very cool. Are you discovering things that you didn't expect or things that work differently than you expected?
Yeah, yes and no. With a new platform like this, you're always going to have a couple of like, oh, I wish it did that. But I'm sure they'll get to it. A good example of that would be the map control. The map control works absolutely awesome. But we have this other set of launchers. My post on launchers went live today, October 7th. So the idea behind launchers is that instead of me building a mechanism that holds a bunch of contacts or that dials the phone or that sends a text message, which would require a lot of code, potentially services and all sorts of other things, I can actually leverage the mechanisms that are on the phone. And so I can launch an SMS message interface where all the user has to do is type their message and hit send, and then they can do that directly from my app. And I was really hoping that there would be one for launching the map application where I could just pass it maybe a latitude and longitude and boom, I'm on a map. Turns out there is not a map launcher. So I wrote a whole post on what the launchers are and how they all work, and there wasn't a map one. So that was a little surprise on the downside. Now, I'm sure there will be one, but there isn't right now. But as far as how things that I've learned that have been really surprising, I've been delighted by how easy some of this stuff is. I think about some of the development I've done in the past. I've been primarily a web developer. And when I look at how easy it is to do some of this stuff on the phone, it just floors me. If you've done any research or looked at any of the videos about the phone, you've probably seen something called a panorama, or they may refer to them as hubs. And these hubs are these really rich interfaces that have a nice background image that kind of scrolls along as you move through it. And it also has individual list items, so you can kind of scroll left and right, and then within that left and right panel, you can scroll up and down to get to some more data. But it's just a really rich, vivid interface. And I actually wrote the post on that one today, and I was just absolutely surprised how easy it was. I really expected there was going to be a bunch of code, configuration, and all this other stuff. And it's really as simple as some basic HTML. I mean, it's not HTML, but it's structured very similarly.
Right. The interesting thing about the panoramic control for me when I first saw it was, is this broken, frankly?
Right.
Because it sort of bleeds over the edge.
Yeah.
But then what I found was in I actually had the experience, because no one had prepped me for it, of saying, well, wait a minute, what's over here? And then sort of scrolling and that process of discovery. And it does cause you to go looking and exploring within the phone and suddenly realizing, oh, these fit together and this is kind of nice.
That has been some of my favorite parts about this phone. The core functionality is so blatantly obvious. There's no question how to do it. You click on this button, you scroll this list up and down. But there are so many moments of delight, like you said, where I just discovered that, oh my gosh, I can do this thing. An example is in the Images Hub, there's a way to set the background. Well, you set the background by holding down on the background, and all of a sudden it gives you a little menu. The long tap in Windows Phone is a hugely unnoticed gesture, but almost everything responds to it. By holding down on items on the phone, regardless of where you are, you always seem to get something fun and new that you may not have known was there.
And let me just roll back for a second, because you were talking about launchers, and typically there's that soup and sandwich, you know, launchers and choosers. They tend to go together. Mm-hmm. And just for clarification, my understanding of the way this works is that if you want to bring up one of the applications, fire it off, and forget it, that is, hand it over to the user, that's a launcher. If you want to bring up an application and get something back, for example, bring up the camera, let the user take a picture, and then get that picture back in the app, then that's a chooser. Do I have that about right?
That is exactly right. And in fact, I use the same terminology in my blog post, which is fire and forget. If you want to send them to the marketplace to review your app, or if you want to have them just send an email or an SMS or make a phone call, those are very, very easy things to do as launchers. But when I want to potentially have them choose a contact that they want to then use in my application, that is a chooser. There's a great little thing that allows them to go in and choose a user's email address or phone number, which at that point, I could then use a launcher to allow them to call that person or send an email to them without me actually having to build anything, which is really, really nice, because they're already going to be familiar with how to send an email in the default mechanisms on the phone. May as well let them use that in my app as well.
So we know that Silverlight developers are going to have a huge leg up, because Windows Phone programming is essentially Silverlight, well, I've been calling it Silverlight 3.5. Which is to say, it was built on 3. A lot of the 4 features were added in, not all, and some features that aren't in 4. So it's kind of 3.56.
Right. I've been calling it 3 plus, but 3.56 sounds good too.
The question, I think, is for folks who are not Silverlight developers. If you're coming to this now cold, the question that I get a lot is, well, should I first learn Silverlight for the web and then turn around and learn the phone, or can I go to the phone directly?
Boy, I think that they could even provide a little bit of confusion. The reason being is, if you think about an app for Silverlight for the web or even for the desktop, I have I generally have that embedded within a browser of some kind, right? I have an application that sits on a web page. And with the applications I'm building for the phone, I don't have that external container. I'm just building compiling down to a zap file, basically, and that zap file is just running locally on a device. So I don't have that exact same kind of structure and thought. I know a lot of people, when I first talked to them about Silverlight, were confused by the idea that there was an ASPX page or an HTML file that hosted a Silverlight file. They thought it was just some other kind of page structure or some kind of other project, that you don't have that on the phone. So to answer your question, I think that there are infinitely more tutorials on just writing Silverlight if you're looking for resources than writing Windows Phone apps. So learning Silverlight, I think, would be easier on the web, keeping in mind, though, that there are going to be small differences, nothing significant. In fact, I have Silverlight applications that I have copied and pasted most all of the code into a Windows Phone template, and it's worked perfectly.
So that's interesting, because I have 2 tutorials. One is Windows Phone 7 for iPhone developers, and one is Windows Phone 7 for Silverlight developers, but it sounds like, given the amount of resources that are out there, that what I really want to do is to start thinking about Windows Phone 7 development for non-Silverlight programmers, or from scratch, or from zero.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a good idea. In fact, I actually push people to a lot of the stuff that you've written and folks like Tim Heuer, because when they're looking for how to do this on the phone, what they really mean is, how do I do this in Silverlight? And there's tons and tons and tons of resources on how to do things in Silverlight, but if they're just searching for, you know, how do I create an XML document and save it to the file system in Windows Phone, they're going to be much more hard-pressed to find that than if they were to use the word Silverlight in their searches.
Yes, that makes good sense. Is your series going to include XNA, or are you staying in Silverlight?
As I said on the first day, this is primarily focused on Silverlight. I am by no means an XNA expert, although I have used it and have built games in it. It's nothing terribly robust. But no, I'm not currently covering XNA, although I would encourage you or anyone that really wants to do a 31 days of XNA. I think that would be a great subject.
Well, I can tell you that I'm doing a 3-parter on building games with XNA, but I'm cheating beautifully by having Jeff Perry's, you know, I like to say, work with me on it. That is to say, he's writing it and then I'm sort of editing it and we're putting it out together. But he is brilliant to do this with.
I need one of those guys. I'm doing this all myself. This is silly.
No, man, get yourself an animator when you want to do games. And he is just truly a great guy and an incredibly talented guy. If I were to do XNA on my own, that would the learning curve there would take a little bit longer than I want, given that we're looking at holiday 2010. Well, holiday 2010 is not that far away. And no. So, you know, people really want to get geared up with this stuff.
Right. And in fact, the best way I found to learn this stuff is there's a great website at creators.xna.com. I don't know if you've been over to that site.
Yes.
But they just launched last week a whole bunch more tutorials for writing XNA games for the phone, including the touch gestures and a bunch of other stuff. But it walks you, my tutorial series walks you step by step, like open this menu, do this thing. It's very low level so that you can get from zero to advanced pretty quickly. But the XNA stuff literally is every single step. Here's how you do it. Here's the resources. You can build, there's this awesome Catapult Wars game that you can build. They give you all the art, they give you all the everything, so that you know how to do everything from front to back without having to actually create any of it. Because I know a lot of us as developers get stuck the moment we have to do something with the creative.
One of the problems that a potential Silverlight and certainly a Windows Phone 7 developer can have is, where do I find the information? The other problem is, wow, my goodness, there's so much information with the labs and the white papers and the tutorials and so on. And I'm wondering whether we need to start thinking about building a map, an on-ramp map for folks, with multiple entrances. You know, if you come from other phones, if you come from Silverlight, if this is your first experience and so on.
Sure.
So that people can begin to try to figure out, where do I get this information?
That's actually a great idea. I know that before I encountered Silverlight, I was almost exclusively a web developer. I had played with Flash, 5 or 7 years ago, so I understood the concepts behind it. But when Silverlight came out, I said, wow, this is great. I can take everything I know about .NET, and now I've got this vector-based, rich interface that I can start applying things to. But I had to learn XAML, right? I had to understand what it was and how it works and interacts. Because just like there are nuances to web development, as you know, yeah, Silverlight has its own quirks, understanding how to layer things so that things are on top of one another and setting up gradients and brushes and everything else that goes into it. So it certainly has been a learning curve, and I have a whole library of books that I've been fortunate enough to have a partnership with O'Reilly, where they'll offer me a book to review and things like that when I need it. But it's been nice to be able to get through these and really understand what I'm doing. Because even though I drew a rectangle to the screen, what does that really mean behind the scenes?
Yes. And for the first few years, it was such a fast-moving target with a new version of Silverlight. Well, I would say every year, but I think the last one was about 6.5 hours.
Right.
So there's a bit of a breathing space on Silverlight right now as we get ready for 5. But Windows Phone 7, of course, is yet another wrinkle on that learning curve. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think a lot of people are having just an awful lot of fun with this.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I've probably got 10 apps 60% done because I have another idea. It's just so much fun to sit down and piece this thing together and have – I've never done a whole lot of in my professional career before I joined Microsoft, I didn't have opportunities to write Windows apps. I didn't have opportunities to write even Windows mobile apps. I was always pretty much confined to the browser, which meant I didn't know the size of the design surface I was working on. I didn't know even what flavor of browser was it going to be, Firefox or Chrome or IE or what. And having a screen size that's 800 by 400 and knowing exactly how the hardware is going to respond, I mean, this is like the greatest luxury I've ever had as a developer. I know everything that's going to happen, and I know if it works on my hardware, it's going to work on everybody else's hardware. That's really refreshing.
One of the interesting challenges for folks has been working with the emulator as they are gearing up and getting ready for the devices to be available. And the emulator is extraordinary because it is an actual build of the operating system of Windows Phone 7. So while you don't have the exact identical experience, and there's no doubt many people are champing at the bit, and understandably so, to have their hands on the device, the emulator has been, for me, an extraordinary thing to just even see that come up and see the applications in them and running and debuggable has been very, very rewarding. Now, I know you've had devices for a while, and my understanding is that you actually make them available to members of the community as they need for testing?
I do. So primarily through Twitter, because there's just not a formal enough process, I think, that I can put this through. But I live in Columbus, Ohio, and so every Thursday that I'm in town, which hasn't been the last couple Thursdays, but this morning I did, I go to a Panera that's right kind of in the central area of town, and I'm there from 7 to 9. That I'm guaranteed that I'll be there for that amount of time. So if you have an application and you don't have a device and you want to try it out, come on by. I could never have met you before, but if you've got code and you're passionate about doing this stuff, I am happy to make you my friend and get your code on my device.